Now, here is Dallas Townsend at Cape Canaveral.
We're speaking to you from the CBS News Mobile headquarters at Cape Canaveral. The hour is 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, February 20th, 1962. And the moment may be almost at hand for this country's first attempt to put a man into orbit around the Earth. Astronaut John Glenn is in his Mercury spacecraft atop the Atlas booster waiting for that moment. He's been there now for 57 minutes. The countdown at this moment stands at T-minus 85 minutes and counting. 1 hour and 25 minutes to launch if they don't have to hold again, and they probably will. The weather here at the Cape, muggy, warm, with a thickening cloud cover. The sun rose 5 minutes ago, but we haven't been able to see it yet through the clouds. However, it does appear to us that the clouds are burning off over the Atlantic to the east. As our CBS News coverage continues, we'll be getting reports from many points on all aspects of this vast and complex operation. We'll be getting reports from roadblock 17, not far from pad 14, where the Atlas will be launched. From the forward medical area, in case of an odd pad or a Cape area abort. From the Forrestal, from the Antietam and the Randolph, the three carriers in the main recovery areas. From Cocoa Beach, where thousands are now watching 5 miles south of Cape Canaveral. From the press site, near our mobile headquarters. And from Dave Derry at Glenn's home in Arlington, Virginia. We'll also be getting reports later on from Washington, Moscow, London, and perhaps elsewhere. But right now, we're going to hear from Lieutenant Colonel John Shorty Powers, who is the Project Mercury spokesman and whose voice we'll be hearing frequently in the hours to come as the launch continues here at Cape Canaveral. We're going to hear now from Colonel Powers.
This is Mercury Control. The MA-6 launch attempt is now in the final countdown. We are at T-minus 82 minutes and counting at this time. Astronaut John Glenn is in the cockpit of the Friendship 7 spacecraft. We've had some holds here this morning. Part of the holds were caused by problems in the Atlas guidance system. Those problems required replacement of the transponder in that guidance system. We also encountered some difficulty with the respiration rate measuring device on astronaut Glenn's helmet. That device has also been replaced. As of this time, all systems in the Mercury Atlas 6 are in a go condition. We are maintaining a close watch on the weather here at Cape Canaveral. The overcast outside appears to be thickening, and we will probably encounter a hold again at about T-minus 60 minutes. John Glenn seems to be in good spirits this morning, and if the weather will just stay with us, we'll proceed with the countdown and with our launch attempt. This is Mercury Control.
That was Colonel Powers speaking from Mercury Control as we stand now at about T-minus 81 minutes and counting before MA-6, this country's first manned orbital mission, gets off the ground. We'll be back in a moment with the man in orbit, another history-making event brought to you by Rambler. Right now, a word from Ed Herlihy.
Quote, "I've never met a Rambler owner who wasn't satisfied. A statement I can't make about any other car." Unquote. Those are the words of famous automotive expert Tom McCahill. They appear in the March issue of Mechanics Illustrated on the newsstands next week. Tom McCahill pays this tribute to Rambler in a special test report on the 1962 Rambler American. McCahill calls the Rambler American convertible he tested quite a buy at today's convertible prices. Of Rambler craftsmanship, McCahill has this to say. "Here is a car that will undoubtedly last for years, and it's honestly put together. The quality of workmanship is tops by American standards." And now, for a limited time, a visit to your Rambler dealer can pay you important extra dividends. With Rambler sales at an all-time high, your Rambler dealer can offer you a money-saving weekend special deal. See your Rambler dealer. Take advantage of Rambler's weekend special deal.
Now, back to Dallas Townsend at Cape Canaveral.
And here at Cape Canaveral, the countdown stands at T-minus 79 minutes and counting. That is 1 hour and 19 minutes to launch before Lieutenant Colonel John Glenn is put into orbit on his orbital mission, this country's first in history. Right now, we're going to move from our CBS News mobile trailer here at Cape Canaveral and get a report from one of the many correspondents who are standing by here at the Cape and elsewhere to bring us the very latest on all aspects of this complex operation. So right now, we'll switch to Charles Von Fremd at the press site.
This press site is a huge mound-like affair, artificially built with gravel and sand by bulldozers. It stands about 4 feet above ground level. It is almost exactly in the center of the Cape. To the right are the Thor and Jupiter gantries, referred to here as IRBM row, intermediate range ballistic missiles. To the center stands the old Vanguard gantry, and what memories that brings back. Beside the Vanguard pad are the Minuteman gantries. But to the more than 300 newsmen on the scene here at the press site this morning, the big thing is to their left, due north, that ICBM row, where the big boosters are launched. And specifically at an area known as Pad 14, where the Atlas booster, the McDonnell spacecraft, and pilot John Glenn are patiently waiting for T-minus zero. Pad 14 is about 8,000 feet away from this press site, about a mile and a half. But at this elevated range, the distance doesn't seem that great, I guess in part, of course, because that missile stands some 10 stories high in a sharp profile against the Atlantic Ocean and the horizon. Many reporters came out here this morning equipped with binoculars, and they gaze every few moments at Pad 14. Other reporters gather in clusters, debating, each with his own ideas, his contribution to the guessing game. Is it go or no go? Rumors fly around the press site like the dust and the sand spurs. Some are optimistic, others forecast a scrub. And other reporters, including many veterans on the Canaveral scene, just pace about, kick the sand, look at Pad 14, and pace some more. Afternoon newspaper reporters on early edition deadline peck out pre-launch stories, which are rushed to a big Western Union van behind the bleachers to be dispatched to their impatient editors around the country. There are some 100 telephones in a huge arc semicircle around the press site. These phones have been allocated to reporters who need them the most. There are no Soviet Union or Iron Country satellite reporters here, even though they were invited to attend this historic launch. They apparently intend to ignore the U.S. effort to duplicate their own manned orbital flights. To the left of the bleacher area, largely uninhabited now because all the seats are damp, is a NASA or civilian space agency booth where our press site spokesman Jack King relays messages from Mercury Control via a public address system. That same PA brings us the voice of Mercury, Lieutenant Colonel John Shorty Powers, at the same time that that voice of Colonel Powers is piped to radio and television audiences. And to the left of that NASA booth is an item of great attraction, especially to the foreign press, a full-scale mock-up, a model of the Friendship 7 space capsule with a dummy or mannequin astronaut inside. Most new observers here marvel at how small that capsule is, how miniaturized the control panel, and how complex the whole two-ton capsule is. That's briefly the story here at the press site. Now back to Dallas Townsend.
And from here at our mobile headquarters, about 150 yards away from Charles Von Fremd, we also are looking at the Atlas, which stands about 8,200 feet, slightly to the northeast of us, near the rim of the Atlantic Ocean. And a favorable note, the sun has now broken through the clouds, the sun rising over the Atlantic, but overhead there is still fairly heavy and constant cloud cover. This is a tense and emotional moment, a moment for which many people have been waiting for a long, long time. And actually, it's been filled with growing excitement and anticipation, with deeply felt hopes and prayers for the man who now is ensconced in his Mercury spacecraft, the Friendship 7, high on top of the Atlas, out on Pad 14. Technicians are still working on fixing the hatch to the Atlas. They're putting in the last of the 72 bolts right now. And in a moment or so, well, you imagine they'll be leaving. They'll be leaving the White Room, where Glenn went when he left Hangar S and went out to took took about 15 minutes, a ride from Hangar S over to Pad 14. Glenn got up this morning at about 2:20. He had a shave and a shower, and then he had breakfast, and after that, a physical examination. Then he began putting on the suit at 4:30. And after that, down into the van, out to Pad 14, and there he waited for about 40 minutes in the van while technicians made last-minute adjustments and replaced that transponder, which Colonel Powers mentioned a moment or so ago from Mercury Control. We're going to switch now from Cape Canaveral to the vantage point of Cocoa Beach, Al Mann reporting. boats lining the beach at Cocoa Beach are casting anxious eyes toward the overcast skies now. The crowds out here are, perhaps they're not nearly so many people as there have been on previous launch attempts. We don't know why. We've talked to many of these people, and they drove all night to get here or spent the night on the beach itself. But nevertheless, we've guessed that there are less than 5,000 people at this particular point on the beach. And when we tried once before to launch astronaut John Glenn, there were between 50 and 75,000 people lining this same beach. But they're here and they're waiting for the launch. Of course, everyone's eager and anxious for this launch attempt to succeed today. But as we say, the overcast is here. The sun has just been arising, been up for about 10 minutes now. That's the story from Cocoa Beach. Al Mann reporting from the oceanfront at Cocoa Beach, just south of Cape Canaveral.
Well, that's the story from a point about 5 miles below Cape Canaveral, one of the nearest points where the public can watch the launching. There's another point called the Jetties, just south of Port Canaveral, and we imagine that there are quite a few other people there. In fact, some of them have been there since January, camping on the beach in trailers, some of them in tents, waiting for this moment when John Glenn will go into orbit. The countdown right now is T-minus 75 and counting. That's the last word that we have, T-minus 75 and counting. 1 hour and 15 minutes if no other holds occur. And, of course, other holds may occur. Well, I was telling you a moment ago about John Glenn's long day. As we said, he awakened at 2:20. He had his shave and shower and breakfast, which was a substantial breakfast with a low-residue diet, 2 scrambled eggs, orange juice, steak, toast, and postum. Colonel Powers, the Project Mercury spokesman, told us that Glenn appeared very lighthearted. Walter Williams, the Project Mercury operations director, the man who is in control, in Mercury control, will stop by to see him, and there was a certain amount of bantering back and forth. Nothing serious. And now we're going to hear from Herb Kaplow at Road Block 17.
All right. Okay, this is Kaplow. In 40 seconds, the general situation.
We're going to be hearing from Herb Kaplow in a moment. Herb Kaplow is at Roadblock 17, which is the nearest point that any reporter can now be watching the Atlas and the Mercury atop it on pad 14. The gantry is still around the capsule and the Atlas, and we can see the umbilical tower from here. In a moment or so, perhaps the technicians will be leaving the white room, and then the gantry will begin to be moved back. And now we'll get that report from Roadblock 17, and we'll hear now from Herb Kaplow.
MA-6 stands surrounded yet by the service tower. Astronaut Glenn sitting in Friendship 7 capsule, some 65 feet atop the Atlas booster 109D. Still a question this morning as to whether the launch will be able to take place. Clouds are hovering over Cape Canaveral. Weather people in Mercury control watching carefully to see whether they will blow away at an appropriate time for a launch and an attempt for orbits. Question yet whether it will be 3, 2, 1, or any orbits at all. At this point in the count, the normal procedure is for the hatch to be in the process of being placed into its place, the 72 half-inch bolts meticulously and carefully screwed into place. Herbert Kaplow at the forward observation area, Cape Canaveral.
Well, that was an eyewitness report from the closest point that any reporter is allowed to be on this launch day here at Cape Canaveral. And the countdown right now is T-minus 76 minutes and counting. We'll be back in a moment to Man in Orbit, another history-making event brought to you by Rambler. First, let's hear a word from Ed Hurley.
Rambler quality. What does it mean to you? In the case of brakes, it can make all the difference in the world. Here are the facts. Except for Cadillac, Rambler is the only American car to offer you the positive safety of double safety brakes. With tandem master cylinders and 2 separate hydraulic systems, one for front wheels and the other for rear wheels. Even if one should fail, the other will bring you to a safe, sure stop. Brake failure is virtually impossible with Rambler double safety brakes. One day, all cars may have brakes like these. They're yours today in Rambler, standard on all models at no extra cost. Also standard in Rambler, self-adjusting brakes with bonded brake linings. Test drive the new Rambler soon With Rambler sales at an all-time high, your Rambler dealer is prepared to offer special Rambler savings. See your Rambler dealer about his weekend special deal.
Once again, here is Dallas Townsend at Cape Canaveral.
And let me make a slight correction on the countdown that I gave you a moment ago. Right now, the count is at T-minus 70 minutes and holding. T-minus 70, 1 hour and 10 minutes to go if no further holds are ordered. And Colonel Powers, the Project Mercury spokesman, has told us that further holds are probable. The sun is shining brightly at the moment. It rose about 20 minutes ago over the Atlantic Ocean, but it appears that in a moment or so from now, it will go behind a deck of high cloud cover. That cloud cover, Colonel Powers told us in his first report from Mercury Control, appears to be thickening. But I would say, just offhand, judging from the way it looks right now from our CBS News mobile headquarters, that the clouds will burn off. And, of course, that's exactly what the National Space Agency is hoping for, that the clouds will burn off over Cape Canaveral, over the launch area, and permit the launching of John Glenn on his orbital flight around the Earth. And the sun is going behind those clouds, but it doesn't look too serious. And downrange, the weather is favorable in all three main recovery areas. Those recovery areas are the are 600 miles east of Bermuda, 360 miles southeast of Bermuda, and 225 miles northwest of San Juan, Puerto Rico. If Glenn goes just one orbit, he will come down in the east of Bermuda area, and the Forrestal, the mighty U.S. Navy carrier, will be waiting to pick him up. If he goes two orbits, the Antietam, the carrier, will be waiting to pick him up, and at the end of three orbits, the carrier Randolph will be waiting. And, of course, everybody here, everybody in the National Space Agency, and not least of all, Colonel Glenn, they all hope that Glenn will go the full three-orbital planned projected flight. As we look out from our window here in the CBS News trailer, about 8,200 feet west of the Atlantic Ocean, we look to the northeast, and there stands the Atlas on pad 14, surrounded by the dark red gantry, and atop it, the 16-foot-tall Mercury spacecraft, the Friendship 7, that name given to it by Colonel Glenn. And atop the spacecraft, the 16-foot escape tower, which will pull the spacecraft away from the Atlas booster if anything goes wrong, if an abort is necessary early in the flight, or perhaps even on pad 14. But everybody hopes that that will not happen, obviously. Canaveral, you know, is a gaunt, it's almost a desolate place. It's not the sort of area that most people in other parts of the country think of when they think of Florida. It's an area of swamps and drainage ditches and palmettos through which roads, both concrete and dirt roads, have been bulldozed. About 300 yards away from the Atlas lies the blockhouse, a large, squat structure which looks somewhat like the top of an enormous ice cream cone. It's made of steel and reinforced concrete. Inside the blockhouse, the skilled technicians responsible for getting the bird successfully into flight are now going through the last tense minutes of the countdown, which at the moment stands at T-minus 66 and counting. The weather here at Cape Canaveral, cloudy at the moment, but nothing serious, and everybody has every expectation that the clouds will burn off in time for a launching this morning. There is a window through which they have to launch, and that window, actually there are two windows. One of the windows concerns time. If they don't go by 9:30 or thereabouts, they may have to go only two orbits. The reason for that is that they need a full 3 hours of daylight in the main recovery areas. If they go by 9:30, as I say, they may very well get the three orbits. If they don't go by 11:30, the chances are that there will be only two orbits. And after 12:30, around 12:30, will be the limit for one orbit. But those times are flexible, and as Colonel Powers is fond of saying, these are judgmental matters, which will have to be decided by the Mercury control people with Walter Williams, the man in charge. He's the Mercury Operations Director. Right now, we're going to hear another report from Colonel Powers, will be speaking to us and giving us the very latest data on the countdown, the condition of the flight at this moment, as he speaks to us from Mercury Control.
This is Mercury Control. The MA-6 countdown is T-minus 64 minutes and counting at this time. However, in the process of installing the hatch in the side of the Friendship 7 spacecraft, we have encountered a broken bolt. In order to remove the broken bolt, it is now going to be necessary to remove the hatch. On a planned basis, we expect to enter a hold condition at T-minus 60 minutes so that we can finish the job of removing the hatch, extracting the broken bolt, and then starting all over again to reinstall the hatch. Once again, we are maintaining close watch on the weather. At this time, the weather here at Cape Canaveral is less than favorable for the launch. We will be entering a hold at T-minus 60 minutes. We estimate the duration of that hold to be about 30 minutes. This is Mercury Control.
That was Colonel Powers giving us the latest from Mercury Control. He said that the countdown now was T-minus 64 minutes and counting. Right now it's at T-minus 63 minutes and counting. But as Colonel Powers told us, in 3 minutes from now, they will enter another hold period, a hold which may last half an hour. Colonel Powers was not as sanguine about the weather right then as he had been earlier, although he had said that the cloud cover was thickening. However, all the other conditions are favorable. All systems are go in the parlance of the missile men. The downrange recovery area weather is also favorable, and of course that's extremely important because the weather here at Canaveral might be perfect, but they would not launch unless they could be sure of acceptable weather conditions in the principal recovery areas. Those areas, as I said, are 600 miles east of Bermuda, 360 miles southeast of Bermuda, and 225 miles northwest of San Juan, Puerto Rico. Each recovery area is 50 miles wide and 200 miles long. And, of course, the recovery forces are spread out. They're stationed at strategic points in the area, ready to move rapidly to any of the points where they expect the Mercury capsule to come down in the Atlantic. And other forces are standing by around the world in case it should be necessary to bring the capsule back outside of its projected planned recovery. There are forces standing by all at various points across the African continent, across Australia, and out in the Pacific near the Hawaiian Islands. Now, we're going to move again from our CBS News mobile headquarters and get a report from the carrier, which is standing by at the end of the first orbit recovery area. So we'll hear now from Dave Dugan on board the carrier, Forrestal.
Landing conditions for a spacecraft are perfect this morning in our area, 100 miles from Bermuda. The waves are only 2 feet high. Visibility is unrestricted, and the ceiling is unlimited.
Well, that was Dave Dugan on board the carrier, which is standing by in the first orbit recovery area. I don't know whether you could hear what he said because the signal was not very good, but he did say that the visibility was unlimited and the ceiling also was unlimited. So if the capsule comes down at the end of one orbit, it will come down into virtually perfect weather conditions. And now we are going to move again to the carrier, which is waiting at the end of the second orbit recovery area. We'll hear now from Joe Campbell on board the carrier Antietam.
When dawn broke over the flight deck of the Antietam, silhouetting our helicopters and their crews against the morning sky, it was immediately apparent that this would be a beautiful day. The sun is shining brightly now, the temperature is 72 degrees, the seas are glassy, officially long, low ground swells peaking 2 feet, the wind is 6 knots, we've got a few scattered cumulus clouds at 2,000 feet, visibility unrestricted, a beautiful recovery picture here. This is Joe Campbell aboard the Antietam about 1,000 miles east of Cape Canaveral.
Well, the weather is obviously better down there at in the second orbit recovery area than it is here at Cape Canaveral, where the sun has gone behind the clouds, and the clouds do appear to be thickening at the moment. And the count now is at, we would estimate, T-minus 60 and holding, if that hold that Colonel Powers reported has gone into effect. We'll be back in a moment to man in orbit. Right now, we'll hear a word about Rambler from Ed Hurley.
Rust,
the silent scourge of automobile bodies. It starts where you can't see it, inside the body panels and girders. As yet, there is no known way to keep moisture from forming in these areas. But to keep this moisture from causing rust and corrosion, Rambler goes to extra lengths that no other car manufacturer does. Every Rambler body gets exclusive deep-dip rust-proofing. The body is immersed, right up to the roof, in a huge 40-foot-long tank of rust-proofing primer paint. When it comes out, over 15 pounds of rust-proofing chemicals coat the steel. This is more rust-proofing than any other American car gets. Rambler literally spills more than others use. Deep-dip rust-proofing, another reason why Rambler sales are at an all-time high. This coming weekend, your Rambler dealer is offering a weekend special deal. It's a special money-saving opportunity to own a new 62 Rambler. Ask your Rambler dealer about his weekend special deal.
Now, here is Dallas Townsend at Cape Canaveral.
And a report just in from Bill Downs aboard the carrier Randolph, standing by in the third orbit recovery area. The weather there is perfect, and he says the sun came up in a glorious burst of color. Now we're going to switch again from our CBS News mobile headquarters here at Cape Canaveral, and we'll hear now from the Glen home in Virginia, Dave Derry reporting.
That today is the day is the expectation here at the Glen home, just across the Potomac from Washington in North Arlington, Virginia. Inside the wood and brick Rambler-style home of John Glen, his pretty wife Anna and two children, 16-year-old David and 14-year-old Lynn, who both are staying home from school today, they're all hopeful that today is the day, although they are resolved that another postponement is possible. The first light went on in the Glen home at about 5:45 this morning when Mrs. Glen got up. She had hot coffee and rolls, and then slowly but surely the children got up. Along with Mrs. Glenn's parents, Dr. and Mrs. W.H. Castor of New Concord, Ohio. Ford Eastman, the NASA go-between between the press and the Glenn family, came out a short time ago to say that the family friend and pastor, the Reverend Frank Irwin, also is inside the house, everyone waiting this morning for the possibility of the attempt of astronaut John Glenn's launching. This is CBS News at the home of John Glenn in Arlington, Virginia.
And the Glenn family and the entire country, I'm sure, by now is aware that the count stands here at Cape Canaveral at T-minus 60 minutes and holding. That hold went into effect a few minutes ago. Colonel Powers, the Project Mercury spokesman, said that the hold would last for about 30 minutes, about half an hour. So perhaps in 25 minutes or so from now, the count will resume. The reason was a small technical problem. A bolt was broken on the hatch on the Mercury spacecraft and has to be replaced. There have been a couple of other small delays as the count proceeded in the early hours here at Cape Canaveral this morning, but nothing very serious. And at the moment, the only thing that would interfere with a launch attempt today, as far as we can tell, the only thing would be the weather. And the weather here at Cape Canaveral remains cloudy. The count again, T-minus 60 minutes and holding. T-minus 60 minutes and holding. Well, right now, here at CBS News, we're going to leave the air temporarily from our special coverage of the Project Mercury launch attempt, but we will be back in 15 minutes. Right now, this is Dallas Townsend at Cape Canaveral.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
From our San Francisco studios, from KCBS in San Francisco, it's American Airlines Music Till Dawn. And as Dallas Townsend mentioned, we'll be going right back to Cape Canaveral for a two-minute report in just 15 minutes from now. And again, if all goes according to plan, at 5:15. Music Till Dawn for the leader in flight, American Airlines. Your flight to light, 6 days each week. Use Tuesday morning, February 20th, flight number 2764, American Airlines, Music Till Dawn.
A great new plane has taken over the sky. Its voice is soft, almost silent. It moves gently. In flight, it seems almost motionless. Yet this plane can reach speeds just underneath the speed of sound. Its name is the Astrojet. Its markings, the insignia of American Airlines. Fly the Astrojet, America's leading plane. On American, America's leading airline.
The Astrojet's the wings of American. 9 flights each day to points east on American Airlines. Check with American at Yukon 21234 for this fine service or with your travel agent wherever you are. The time in the west, 29 minutes until 5 at KCBS in San Francisco as we continue. For American Airlines, the music of Carmen Dragon and the Capitol Symphony Orchestra and waltzes from the Gypsy Baron. Again, our theme, American Airlines, that's all. But I imagine we'll be back in just a few minutes after a switch to Cape Canaveral to check with Dallas Townsend on what's going on this morning at the site of the John Glenn orbit shot, or the orbit attempt this morning, which was delayed. That was the music of Strauss, waltzes from the Gypsy Baron, and the waltz from the Serenade for Strings by Peter Tchaikovsky, conducted by Carmen Dragon. Well, I don't know whether John Glenn is a smoker or not, but you know, if you can't do without cigarettes, you can never be an astronaut, or as the Russians call them, a cosmonaut. Word it is that out there, there'll be no smoking for anybody in orbit. They just have to settle for a trip 6 miles above the Earth in one of America's great astrojets. And while, of course, you won't be in orbit, you'll have a great time, we know, smoking to your heart's content. And nobody will complain because the Astrojet's ventilation and air conditioning system moves yards and yards of fresh air inside and outside the cabin every minute. And all of the air comes in at just the right temperature for you. And by the way, how's this for service? If you should forget your cigarettes on the ground or run out while you're up in the air, American's charming stewardesses will be most happy to bring you a pack. So go up and light up on the Astrojets of American Airlines, America's leading airline. 9 Astrojets from San Francisco each day. KCBS in San Francisco.
This is Dallas Townsend at CBS News in Cape Canaveral. The countdown here is T-minus 60 minutes and holding as the National Space Agency moves toward this country's first manned orbital flight. Lieutenant Colonel John Glenn, the astronaut, is secured inside the Mercury spacecraft waiting for that great moment. Glenn has been inside Friendship 7 now for a bit less than 2 hours. The complicated and laborious procedure of making final adjustments, fastening Colonel Glenn into place on his couch, which was molded to fit his body, and securing the hatch with its 72 bolts, all these things are still underway. There were a few minor delays earlier in the morning to replace a transponder in the Atlas booster, to replace a broken bolt, but the countdown here has proceeded well. All systems are go, as they say in missile land, with one exception, the weather. Right now, it's cloudy over the launch area. The sun is concealed behind a bank of clouds. But there are patches of blue here and there. Colonel Powers, the Project Mercury spokesman, didn't sound too optimistic about the weather in his last report, But to a layman's eyes, and judging from our experience with Cape weather in the past month, these clouds could burn off as the sun rises in the sky. There appear to be two layers of clouds, a high layer, about 6 to 7 tenths cloud cover, and a low layer, which is blowing off rapidly. Downrange, in the main recovery areas, the weather is excellent. In all three, where Colonel Glenn could land at the end of 1, 2, or 3 orbits. On balance, conditions appear excellent for a launching this morning. Colonel Glenn got up early, about 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. He had breakfast, and it was a big breakfast. He is reported to be in good spirits, and he appeared to be exactly like that when he left Hangar S and took the short ride to Pad 14. Again, the count is T-minus 60 minutes and holding. We'll be back in 15 minutes. This is Dallas Townsend at CBS News, Cape Canaveral.
And this is Ken Ackerman at KCBS in San Francisco. This is American Airlines Music Till Dawn, resuming. Before an American Airlines plane takes off, 10 of American's divisions must approve that flight. And if anyone says no, no go, well, that flight does not go. That you can be sure. Now, this results, of course, in a certain number of canceled flights. But it means that when you fly American Airlines, you only go when conditions are right. For example, the weather along the flight path is studied not only by government forecasters, but by American's own meteorologists, our dispatchers, pilots, and co-pilots. And when your plane takes off, you can rest assured that ground conditions and ceilings and cloud patterns, storm areas, everything that goes to make up the weather way up there, has all been analyzed by pros, persons in the know. You say American Airlines is finicky, fussy? Well, you're right. You're right. That's one of the big reasons why experienced travelers consistently choose American Airlines. And why it's the leader in flight. It's 12 minutes until 5 here at KCBS, American Airlines Music Till Dawn. Presenting the music of Carl Mario von Weber during this hour of our flight, the overture to Der Freischütz, conducted by Thomas Schippers. Incidentally, Schippers will be in San Francisco to conduct tomorrow night the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra. He'll be the guest for the next 2 weeks. On from KCBS, presenting the overture to the opera Der Freischütz by Carl Maria von Weber. The conductor, Thomas Schippers. And Thomas Schippers is in San Francisco for a series of concerts he'll be presenting beginning tomorrow night with the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra, tomorrow night and through next week. Music Till Dawn, 6 days each week from San Francisco, from KCBS. Flights courtesy the leader in flight, American Airlines. Can you teach a girl to like people? Well, no, not really. You can't force her to get a genuine pleasure out of making people comfortable. These qualities are those which must be born in a girl. She's got to possess them before she's enrolled at American Airlines College for Stewardesses down in Dallas. But once she qualifies, well, there are things American Airlines can teach a girl. She undergoes an extensive 77-subject course which covers everything from the care and feeding of babies to very interesting subjects such as meteorology and name association, how to remember a person's name, so very important to any hostess. All this takes place at American Airlines Stewardess College down in Texas, and there's not another one like it in the world. If you'd like to meet an American Airlines stewardess, one of the charming girls, take a flight on American Airlines in one of the Astro Jets from San Francisco. KCBS in San Francisco, the time is 5 a.m. at American Airlines Music Till Dawn. And from KCBS News, 5 minutes of the latest. Astronaut John Glenn is in the space capsule at this moment atop the huge Mercury rocket at Cape Canaveral, awaiting completion of the countdown to send him into one, two, or three orbits around the Earth. The countdown is expected to resume shortly. There was a cancellation for, not a cancellation actually, but a hold for a short time because of a broken bolt on the hatch of the space capsule. The actual time when Glenn will take off still depends on the weather. A broken cloud cover is over the launch site, but officials are hopeful that it will not delay the attempt to send Glenn into orbit. Glenn talked by telephone with his wife and children in Arlington, Virginia, and to his parents in New Concord, Ohio, before retiring early last night. Both families are watching today's developments on television. Defense Secretary McNamara is on the way home by jet after a day of talks with military and diplomatic leaders in Honolulu on the situation in Southeast Asia. In a written statement at the end of the conference, McNamara said the South Vietnam War seems to be stabilized, but he warned that guerrilla fighting could continue there for years. President Kennedy will send a message to Congress today outlining a new pay plan for federal workers, including additional pay for superior skills. The president's proposals are expected to follow recommendation of a presidential panel, which urged in a report February 14th that skilled government workers be paid the equivalent to what non-government workers get for the same kind of work. U.S. Attorney General Robert Kennedy has arrived in Rome for a two-day visit, during which he will have a private audience with Pope John. Kennedy and his wife flew to Rome from Bangkok, Thailand, at the conclusion of the Asian leg of their world tour. Informed sources in Washington say U-2 pilot Francis Powers has agreed to take lie detector tests during his questioning by U.S. intelligence agents. The flyer, who was shot down while on a flight over Russia in 1960, was recently exchanged for Soviet master spy Rudolf Abel and returned to this country after a period of imprisonment in Russia. Leaders of the Women's Strike for Peace have urged Mrs. John Kennedy to match that radio appeal of Soviet Premier Khrushchev's wife Sunday. They suggest that the First Lady beam a broadcast to the Soviet Union urging peace and understanding. The Assembly Ethics Committee of the New York State Legislature has found House Speaker Joseph Carlino innocent of a charge he had violated the state code of ethics in connection with fallout shelter legislation. Carlino had been accused of conflict of interest violations by serving as director of a fallout shelter company. At the same time, the legislature passed a law to encourage the construction of such shelters. The first trial to result from the arrest of 735 Negroes during anti-segregation marches in several states will be held in Albany, Georgia today. The case of the Reverend Ralph Abernathy of Atlanta is the first on the trial docket. News here in the far west. Negotiators from three waterfront unions have agreed to meet in San Francisco next Monday with a panel of mediators in an effort to avert a West Coast shipping strike. The walkout was postponed for at least a week after the panel was appointed. The mediators were called in a showdown as it neared between the unions and the PMA. The dispute involves the Sailors Union of the Pacific, the Marine Firemen, and the Marine Cooks and Stewards. Dozens of firemen battled a huge warehouse fire at a cereal plant in Stockton this morning. All available equipment dispatched to the scene on Church Street. Firemen say the blaze has been contained, the damage around $100,000. An explosion shattered a 3,300-gallon tank truck in Mountain View yesterday. The blast apparently was touched off when a welder's torch ignited fumes. The explosion at the Richards Trucking Company seriously burned the welder, Albert Silva, of San Jose, and damaged a shop building. A major Republican campaigner for the California governorship, Richard Nixon, wound up a two-day visit yesterday with ex-President Eisenhower in the Palm Springs area of Southern California. Nixon and his wife have flown home now to Los Angeles. And California's Governor Brown has attacked extremist groups. He calls them the voices of the cuckoo. The governor made his attack in a speech to University of California students in Berkeley. He said extremist groups, as he phrased it, must be fought just as hard as we combat the communists who totally misunderstand and totally reject our democracy. General Secretary Gus Hall of the American Communist Party said in Los Angeles that it's a good guess that he will be included if a federal grand jury indicts party officers. The Communist Party has been charged with failure to register its officers with the government as required by the McCarran Act. The Highway Patrol in San Jose is looking for anyone who witnessed the collision which killed five persons on the Bayshore Freeway. The crash occurred February 11th, and the CHP says it wants to know why a northbound vehicle crashed through a barrier onto the southbound lanes. Another car hit it, causing the death of all but two of the seven people involved. Patrolmen say they have conflicting accounts of that crash and need additional witnesses for verification purposes. Albert Elkus, a key figure in the music of life of the San Francisco Bay Area, has died in Oakland's Kaiser Hospital at the age of 77. Elkus was a professor of music at the University of California in Berkeley for 20 years. Upon his retirement in 1951, he became head of the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. In these positions, he worked with many of the giants of modern music, as well as composing some pieces of his own. He's survived by his wife and two sons, Albert Elkus. 6 minutes after five at KCBS on American Airlines Music Till Dawn. Just 9 minutes from now, we'll be switching down to Cape Canaveral for the latest on-the-scene report from Dallas Townsend. Here in San Francisco, there's variable clouds, occasional showers today, tonight, and Wednesday. The high during the afternoon, 54 degrees. Our rain chances, 50%. Today, tonight, and Wednesday. Astronaut John Glenn, still in his space capsule atop the huge Mercury rocket at Cape Canaveral, awaiting completion of the countdown to send him into one, two, or three orbits around the Earth. And it's expected that the countdown will resume shortly at T minus 60. 6.5 minutes past the hour at the time in the West on American Airlines Flight to Light, flight number 2764. Planning a flight to Chicago? Make that flight on American Airlines. American Airlines, the leader in flight. American offers you a choice of 4 nonstop Astro jets every day from San Francisco to the Windy City. 4 a day. You can take wing at 9 o'clock in the morning. There's a flight at high noon, one at 3:45 in the afternoon if you wish. 4 a day from San Francisco to Big Town, New York City in the wings of American Airlines. From San Francisco, from KCBS, American Airlines, Music Till Dawn. In just a moment, we'll bring you the music of Jerome Kern. Again, for all you early birds, the weather from San Francisco for the Bay Area, variable clouds with occasional showers today, tonight, and Wednesday. The temperature around 54 degrees. The Bay Entrance weather, which is just filed at KCBS News, out of the San Francisco Light Vessel, the winds are westerly at 11 miles. Partly cloudy weather out there. The visibility is 30 miles. 20-mile visibility at the Fairlawns. They're having rain out there this morning. Fort Point is clear. It's clear at Point Reyes. 30-mile visibility. Point Montara is calm and cloudy and 12-mile visibility. This is KCBS, American Airlines, Music Till Dawn. From San Francisco, from KCBS, this is your Flight to Light, American Airlines, Music Till Dawn. In just 30 seconds, we'll be switching back to Cape Canaveral for the latest word from Dallas Townsend, and then we'll resume our Music Till Dawn, unless they hold it at Cape Canaveral. The time is nearing 5:15 here at KCBS on your Flight to Light. This is KCBS in San Francisco.
This is Dallas Townsend for CBS News at Cape Canaveral. The countdown here at Cape Canaveral resumed a few minutes ago. It's now at T-50 minutes and counting. T-50 and counting. That hold we were in for a while lasted about 40 minutes. It was caused by a broken bolt in the hatch on the spacecraft. The hatch had to be removed and the bolt replaced. All systems now are reported go. Up to now, the only problem has concerned the weather. High and intermediate cloud cover early today over Cape Canaveral, and that would, of course, interfere with optical observation of the launch attempt. But the clouds are burning off rapidly. The sun is now shining brightly, and it's increasingly warm here at the Cape. It's warm and muggy. And downrange, all weather is reported excellent in all three main recovery areas. So, right now, it appears to us that there will be a launch this morning of John Glenn into orbit. Colonel Glenn awakened soon after 2 o'clock this morning. He had a hearty breakfast, he shaved, he had a shower, and after that, a physical examination, and then he got into the transfer van for the short trip, which actually lasted about 15 minutes, from Hangar S, where he has his quarters, to Pad 14, where the Atlas and the Mercury spacecraft were awaiting him. He got into the spacecraft a bit more than 2 hours ago, and he's been there now, waiting quietly for the great moment when he will be launched into space. He's reported to be in good spirits. Colonel Powers, the Project Mercury spokesman, says that Glenn was in very good spirits, excellent spirits, when he talked to him early this morning. There was a lot of good-natured banter back and forth around the breakfast table. Nothing serious, no shop talk. This was not the time for it. And again, the countdown right now is T-minus 48 minutes and counting. We'll be back at 30 minutes past the hour to resume our CBS News coverage of this country's first manned orbital flight. This is Dallas Townsend, CBS News, Cape Canaveral.
This is Ken Ackerman in San Francisco for American Airlines with Music Till Dawn at 17 minutes after 5 here in the city by the Golden Gate. And as Dallas Townsend told you, he'll be back at our time, 5:30, just 13 minutes from now. Until then, music to take us down to touchdown point on American Airlines Music Till Dawn, the music of Jerome Kern in just a moment. Ever wonder how a pilot remembers all the things he's supposed to do before he takes wing? Well, today's pilot doesn't have to rely on memory alone. He's got an instrument that remembers for him, and they call it the memory box, and it's a very important little box to them. It requires your pilot to take 16 different steps, every one essential to takeoff, and for landings, another 16 must be checked off, sort of like a countdown. Well, this is the way it works. Just imagine every time you got into your car, there would be a device which would say, close the door, insert the key, check the gas gauge, press the starter, release the emergency brake, and depress the accelerator and so forth. Well, something like that would drive you kind of batty, wouldn't it? But in an airplane, the pilot is glad it's there, and all American Airlines planes have that memory box. It's one of the hundreds of things that makes modern air travel so dependable. So next time you fly, use the wings of American Airlines, the choice of experienced travelers. See your travel agent or call American, America's leading airline. CBS Music Till Dawn for the leader in flight, American Airlines. The time is 28 minutes past the hour. Your flight to light for Tuesday morning as we begin another Music Till Dawn week. Nice to have you on board. We hope you join us often. We're here 6 days each week for the leader in flight, American Airlines. American flies from San Francisco to Chicago 4 times each day. Flights that leave at 9 in the morning. There's one at high noon, another 3:45 in the afternoon. And there's a night flight, too, on American Airlines, leaving shortly after midnight. And flights to New York City and to the Big D, Dallas, Texas. Come on aboard soon for the convention flight, the business flight, or the wonderful vacation flight on the leader in flight, American. From San Francisco, 9 Astro jets winging out every day. From San Francisco to points east. That's our Music Till Dawn for this Tuesday morning, flight number 2764. Nice to have you on board, maybe because of the astronaut flight this morning. You're up and with us for the first time. Music Till Dawn is with you 6 days each week, all courtesy American Airlines. Join us often on through the night. Flight engineer this morning was Gene Goldrup, and for the leader in flight, American Airlines, this is your host, Ken Ackerman. This is KCBS in San Francisco.
This is Dallas Townsend at CBS News, Cape Canaveral. The countdown here at the Cape stands at T-minus 45 minutes and holding. That hold began about 10 minutes ago. The estimate is that it will end in about...
is at T-minus 15 minutes and counting. T-minus 15 minutes and counting.
Now, this is Colonel Powers with a single announcement that the count stands at T-minus 15 minutes and counting. The time here at Cape Canaveral, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if the count continues, in another 15 minutes or so, Colonel Glenn will be on his way. And that means that he will have plenty of time to go the full three orbits because there will be at least 3 hours of daylight left in the Randolph recovery area in order to pick him up and bring him back safely. Of course, the Navy is very desirous of having those full 3 hours in case he lands rather far away from one of the recovery ships. And now a report from Cocoa Beach, 5 miles south of here, where people are gathered on the beach. We'll switch to Al Mann at Cocoa Beach.
Excitement is growing among spectators on the waterfront as launch time draws nearer. Cars line virtually the entire beachfront area. These people are well equipped for watching a missile launch. Many have binoculars and cameras. Some even have set up telescopes. The beachfront eating spots are doing a land office business. Virtually every vantage point is occupied. Rooftops, a beach motel balcony, the tops of cars. Many of these people here are old hands at watching these launches. The weather from here, seas relatively calm, skies completely clear, with an occasional cloud moving across, but moving rapidly. The atmosphere, an air of excitement, of expectancy, of hope that this launch goes successfully. Al Mann on the oceanfront, Cocoa Beach, just south of Cape Canaveral.
And, of course, the excitement is intense there because this is known as Spaceport USA. And right now, the activities at Cape Canaveral are predominant in the affairs of Central Brevard County and this entire area of Central Florida. The count of the moment... T-minus 12 and a half minutes and counting. Now, we're going to switch again from our CBS News headquarters in a moment or so to one of the other areas right here on the Cape. And here is Dick Bate of the forward medical area.
Begins to warm up, ready to leap into the air. The command chopper with the astronauts, Dr. Bill Douglas aboard, has been in the air and has come back down just for a moment. All of the helicopters carry what are called paramedics, men who can jump into the water carrying a medical kit and tools to open up a capsule, get an astronaut out if there should be trouble. The big day for these men will be the day, like the day they hope, when they will never be used. The helicopter's warming up and ready to go if they should be needed. Also standing by at this forward medical area are the nurses and doctors who will be ready to take care of astronaut Glenn if he should have to be brought back here. He would be brought back whether or not he were injured. This is Richard Bate at the forward medical area, Cape Canaveral.
The count at the moment, T-minus 11 and a half minutes and counting. This is Dallas Townsend. We'll be back with our coverage of America's first orbital flight from Cape Canaveral in just a minute.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Good morning. This is McElhattan in the morning at KCBS, KCBS-FM, San Francisco.
Well, I think New York is a tremendous place for resources, no matter what you want
to
do.
To me, it seems it's always in the process.
What is New York? Ask 1,000 different people. You'll get 1,000 different answers. Listen.
I enjoy New York City. It offers so much.
New York is the most fantastic city in the world.
This city is a mess.
I like New York because of the fascinating people that I meet.
Oh, New York is a fine place to visit, but not to live in.
Oh, I just love it.
So what is New York? Who knows? All we know is that the best way to get there is by American Airlines. On American, you travel by AstroJet, the quietest four-engine jet in the sky. And you get to New York at nearly the speed of sound.
American Airlines offers you a choice of 3 nonstop AstroJet flights every day to New York, leave in the morning, afternoon, or at night. For reservations, see your travel agent or call American Airlines, America's leading airline.
The count is T-minus 10 and a half minutes and counting. 10 and a half minutes before Colonel Glenn is launched into orbit. The Atlas stands there all by itself now. The gantry crane moved back and... To judge from the weather, to judge from everything we've been hearing, we are going to have a launch this morning, and MA-6 will be on its way. Here's Colonel Powers again.
MA-6 countdown is at T-minus 10 minutes and counting. Mercury astronaut John Glenn is reporting all the systems in the spacecraft are go. Our status report in the control center indicates all systems are go. This is Mercury Control at T-minus 9 minutes and 45 seconds.
Well, that was Colonel Powers giving us the latest from Mercury Control. Mercury Control is the most closely guarded building on the Cape, where security is quite a problem for anyone. It's almost impossible to get inside it. That is where the mission actually will be supervised and directed from the moment it leaves the pad until Colonel Glenn returns to Earth. And everyone is hoping that he will go the full three orbits. If he goes within the next half hour or so, he almost certainly will. That is, of course, barring some trouble such as developed in MA-5, which was the flight of Enos the chimpanzee. In that one, which was not a manned orbital flight, the spacecraft was recalled to Earth near the end of the second orbit because of a minor electrical trouble inside the spacecraft. The Atlas is still being fueled, still being tanked with liquid oxygen. The fueling of the RP-1, the kerosene-like fuel, has been completed. And the count now is at T-minus 9 minutes. About a minute ago, the final reports on the weather and range instrumentation and the range safety officer should have been delivered to the test conductor, T.J. O'Malley, inside the blockhouse. T.J. O'Malley is the man who will be responsible for pressing the button and making sure that the flight is on its way. After it leaves the pad, his responsibility is over. From then on, it's up to Mercury Control. The count now, T-minus 8.5 minutes and counting. The fumes from the liquid oxygen still pouring from that vent high in the Atlas booster, just below the Mercury spacecraft. Within a few minutes, the loxing should be completed, and from then on, things will move very rapidly. At T-minus 1 minute and 15 seconds, for example, the test conductor will make his final checks with the panel operators seated at consoles around this large circular-type room inside the blockhouse. The conductor will ask for reports on missile power, on AMR telemetry, that's Atlantic Missile Range telemetry, on propulsion. And in every case, if the reports are favorable, the reply will be go. We're still looking out here at the Atlas across 8,200 feet of Florida palmettos and yuccas. The sky now is absolutely clear, just a bit of haze off in the distance. The Atlas poised on its launching pad about a half a mile from the Atlantic. And now here again is Colonel Powers from Mercury Control.
This is Mercury Control. The MA-6 launch countdown is at 6 minutes and 40 seconds and counting. 6 minutes and 40 seconds and counting.
Colonel Powers says the count is at 6 minutes and 40 seconds and counting. And from now on, things will move very rapidly. This is a very different situation from what it was on January 27th, that Saturday when we came out here and found a heavy cloud cover. Nevertheless, despite the cloud cover, the National Space Agency went ahead with plans for launching, but had to stop at almost the last minute, or rather, T-minus 20 minutes, when the cloud cover became too heavy. One point of difference between now and then, well, I'll tell you about that in a minute. Here again is Colonel Powers.
This is Mercury Control. The MA-6 launch countdown is at T-minus 6 minutes and 30 seconds. T-minus 6 minutes and 30 seconds. We have encountered an electrical power failure in connection with our computers in Bermuda. The power has been restored. We estimate it will take us about 5 minutes to get the computer back into condition to support the mission. We are at T-minus 6 minutes and 30 seconds in holding. We estimate this hold will last about 5 minutes.
And that was Colonel Powers at Mercury Control. He says the count is at T-minus 6 minutes, 30 seconds, and holding. This is another of the frequent holds that occur in the last stages of these launchings from Cape Canaveral. This time it's trouble with the electrical trouble with the computers at Bermuda, and Colonel Power says he estimates the hold will last about 5 minutes. I was telling you a moment ago about the difference between the situation today and the situation on Saturday, January 27th. That difference was that Colonel Glenn, the astronaut, did not get into the spacecraft until fairly late in the morning, so that he's now been there now somewhat less than 3 hours. On the 27th, he had to stay in the capsule 5 hours and 13 minutes before the thing was called off. We'll be back in a moment to Man in Orbit, this history-making event brought to you by Rambler. We'll hear now from Ed Herlihy.
Quote, I've never met a Rambler owner who wasn't satisfied. A statement I can't make about any other car. Unquote. Those are the words of famous automotive expert Tom McCahill. They appear in the March issue of Mechanics Illustrated on the newsstands next week. Tom McCahill pays this tribute to Rambler in a special test report on the 1962 Rambler American. McCahill calls the Rambler American convertible he tested quite a buy at today's convertible prices. Of Rambler craftsmanship, McCahill has this to say. Here is a car that will undoubtedly last for years, and it's honestly put together. The quality of workmanship is tops by American standards. And now, for a limited time, a visit to your Rambler dealer can pay you important extra dividends. With Rambler sales at an all-time high, your Rambler dealer can offer you a money-saving weekend special deal. See your Rambler dealer. Take advantage of Rambler's weekend special deal.
Once again, here's Dallas Townsend at Cape Canaveral.
The count now is a T-minus 6 minutes and counting. It's just now been resumed. The power failure in the computers at Bermuda didn't take long to repair. Colonel Powers just gave us that word, T-minus 6 minutes and counting. The Bermuda computers are extremely important because it is at Bermuda that the decision is made, subject, of course, to the final control of Mercury control here at Cape Canaveral. The final decision is made whether or not to put the spacecraft into orbit, because it's over Bermuda that it attains orbital speed of about 17,500 miles an hour, and if all goes well, Colonel Glenn will then be at an altitude of about 100 miles. Colonel Powers is coming in fairly frequently now, and here we're going to hear from him again. Here is Colonel Powers.
T-minus 5 minutes and counting. T-minus 5 minutes and counting. Mercury control.
Well, that was Colonel Powers giving us the latest. It's T-minus 5 minutes and counting. Now, from here on, I expect to be interrupted very frequently by Colonel Powers. I'll simply keep talking, and when Colonel Powers starts, I'll stop. Colonel Powers is the man who will be bringing us the up-to-the-minute reports from Mercury Control. He's sometimes called the eighth astronaut. He's the spokesman for Project Mercury. He knows all seven of the astronauts intimately. He's been associated with them ever since they joined the project a little less than 3 years ago. He himself is an Air Force officer, a flying officer, and he probably knows as much about this whole operation here at Cape Canaveral as any man alive. Colonel Powers has been on the hot spot in the last month or so with the repeated delays and postponements. Some of the media here, some of the communications media have become increasingly impatient and perhaps a little bit critical of the way he's conducted his coverage for the press. But Colonel Powers, on balance, has been doing a remarkable job in difficult circumstances. The count, T-minus 4 minutes and counting. And the oxygen vapors are still pouring from that vent at the top of the Atlas booster. Inside the spacecraft, Lieutenant Colonel John Glenn, United States Marine Corps, lies alone, strapped onto his body-molding couch with his knees up. He's lying on his back at the moment, but when he goes into orbit, he actually will be in what we might call a seated position. T-minus 4 minutes and counting. Right now it should be about T-minus 3.5 minutes and counting. Actually, it's T-minus 3 minutes and counting. And if you think the tension is becoming almost overwhelming here at Cape Canaveral, you're absolutely right, because it is. Those fumes still pouring from the Atlas. In about 3 minutes, if the count continues, the engines will ignite. 360,000 pounds of thrust, about 7.5 million horsepower, will lift the Atlas booster, the Mercury spacecraft, and the escape tower off the pad and send it on its way. The count now...
Mercury control,
internal power.
And a six launch countdown is at 2 minutes and 30 seconds and counting. 2 minutes and 30 seconds and counting. This is Mercury control.
2 minutes and 30 seconds and counting, says Colonel Powers. 360,000 pounds of thrust when those five engines ignite. Two engines of 150,000 pounds each, a sustainer engine of 60,000 pounds, which will burn throughout the 5 minutes of powered flight, and two small vernier engines on the side of the Atlas, which will provide fine adjustments in direction. The count, T-minus 2 minutes and counting. T-minus 2 minutes and counting. 2 minutes to go before launch. That is if there is not another hold. And there may be a momentary hold in the last few seconds of the count. At T-minus 1 minute, T-minus 60 seconds, water flow will go to full. 35,000 gallons a minute will pour over the pad underneath the Atlas in order to reduce the damage from the tremendous flames that occur at liftoff. The time, T-minus 1.5 minutes and counting. T-minus 1.5 minutes and counting. The fumes have stopped pouring from that vent high in the Atlas.
This is Mercury Control. The MA-6 launch countdown is T-minus 1 minute and counting. T-minus 1 minute and counting. All systems are reported in a go condition. John Glenn reports he is ready. This is Mercury Control.
John Glenn, in the last minute before takeoff, reports that he is ready. He is ready to take that history-making first manned orbital flight around the Earth of the United States. Lieutenant Colonel, United States Marine Corps, at the greatest moment of his life.
Mercury Control, the MA-6 count, T-minus 30 and counting. T-minus 30 seconds and counting.
The water is pouring over the flame bucket underneath the Atlas at 35,000 gallons a minute.
The Mercury spacecraft umbilical is out. We're at T-minus 19 seconds.
T-minus 19 seconds, says Colonel Powers.
T-minus 10 seconds and counting. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1... Zero, ignition, liftoff. The MA-6 vehicle has lifted up. The MA-6 vehicle has lifted up.
And the Atlas flies into the air, trailing a dagger of flame behind it. You can hear the enormous roar as it reaches us. And high up it goes, straight up into the air. Rapidly goes into the air with increasing speed. There it goes. You can almost... I don't know whether you can hear me, but I'm still talking. Off it goes, straight up in the air over the Atlantic. Colonel Powers and Colonel Glenn is on his way. The time, 9:48 Eastern Standard Time. High up goes the Atlas, straight into the air. And now the roar begins to die away. And a great burst of smoke from the launch pad drifts slowly south across the Cape.
The trajectory is still okay. MA-6 vehicle is still climbing nicely.
And it's now beginning to curve over into its trajectory, curving slightly over and disappearing rapidly into the distance.
The MA-6 vehicle is climbing nicely, has passed through the area of maximum dynamic pressures. Pilot John Glenn is reporting all systems go, is giving routine reports, reading off his instruments. John Glenn reports the flight very smooth now.
And the Atlas is still disappearing into the distance, looking like a very good flight. By the end of the first minute, it should have climbed to 50,000 feet.
Holding at 6.1 pounds per square inch.
Cabin pressure sounds excellent, 6.1 pounds per square inch. In the next minute and a half, it will climb three times as far as it did
in the
first minute.
The MA-6 vehicle is still climbing on its trajectory. John Glenn reports
The G-force is building now to 6. Booster engine cutoff has been confirmed by the pilot.
By G, Colonel Powers means gravity. 6 times the force of gravity.
The Mercury Control Center have confirmed booster engine staging. The pilot has confirmed booster engine staging.
Booster engine staging means that the booster engines have now cut out. The sustainer engine is going ahead.
That the escape tower has separated. Our telemetry in the Mercury Control Center confirms that the tower has separated.
And the flight still looks good. The escape tower has been blown off. He is still going ahead, carried by the Atlas booster, heading toward that window in the sky somewhere over Bermuda.
The MA-6 vehicle is now climbing on its trajectory. 3 minutes and 5 seconds of flight time. It is flying on its pre-planned trajectory. The pilot reports that the G-forces are building up once again under the acceleration of the sustainer engine. Bermuda reports that it has acquired telemetry signals from the spacecraft. John Glenn reports everything looks good.
And he has about another minute and a half of powered flight, and at that point the sustainer engine will cut off. And then will come the critical moment whether to decide whether to put him into orbit. It still looks good. The roar of the rocket has died away into the distance. And Colonel Glenn, United States Marine Corps, is on his way.
The MA-6 vehicle is climbing nicely on its trajectory. John Glenn reports his fuel system as planned. His oxygen system is all okay. He reports his electrical power all okay.
It looks good right now. I think we've got an orbit.